A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Coraline. Coraline is a 2009 American stop-motion animated dark fantasy horror film written and directed by Henry Selick, based on Neil Gaiman's novella of the same name. It tells the story of an 11-year-old girl called Coraline who discovers an idealized alternate universe behind a secret door in her new home, unaware that it contains something dark and sinister.
Tamo.
Yes.
Year of Passion.
Oh, this is one of my great passions.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I once on Letterboxd saw this in your top four.
You are not wrong.
What knocked it out? Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Sleep knocked it out?
Yeah.
So I'll quickly just say, obviously we're a horror podcast. Well, this one has been recommended a few times by listeners going, guys, I know it's like a kid's film, but you got to watch it. You don't have to convince us. As far as I'm concerned, this is horror. Mm. Yes, maybe it fits more in kids' horror, still very much horror. So I was very keen to do it for Scaredy Boys because it's a horror that I actually love. I kind of made the note while watching it. This is the closest I can get to understanding people watching a horror film as a comfort watch.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This plays in comfort watch territory. Animation generally does. I love animation. It's just one of my great passions. And animation has such rewatch value for me because I'm constantly spellbound by the art, by the craft. Like, I'll watch Ghibli all day long. And like, if I've got a sick day or a day where I'm a bit flat or just like, I'm not in the mood for something new, I'm usually going to pop on something animated. And something that I love. And all the Leica stuff definitely fits in that camp as well. I think they make some gorgeous, beautiful movies. And they really care about story as well. Yeah. It's like the perfect combo.
How much of it do you think is escapism?
For me, why I love it so much?
Just for animation in general, I guess. Because I remember this like study that went into Australian filmmaking at one point. It said, we make the kitchen sink dramas, the misery porn sort of stuff. We don't make like all the most popular movies of all time, a lot of them are about escapism. They're about a character who sets out on a journey.
Yes.
And I think that the structure of that is so suited to animated stories.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Because you can do things that you can't do in live action. Like, that sounds very obvious to say, but it's that thing of like, you can tell a story because the medium in which you're showing that story can become an extra tool. And like, I think about in Coraline in particular, just the great little visual motif of the border of the other world or the washed out part of the world. Yeah. Like, that's such a cool thing to happen and a great way to depict that.
It's an insanely good way to depict
it. Only works in animation.
Yeah, I hear you. And especially when you're thinking, okay, this is the primary audience for this is kids. It definitely has a strong secondary adult audience. But to deliver like the idea, I was thinking about this, like conceptually, there's a lot going on here for kids to click into. So I've got a niece, Annabelle. She's now 10, but this has been like one of her favorite movies since I would arguably say she shouldn't be watching it, too young.
Yep.
But she fucking loves this movie. And the idea of delivering what is like, hey, there's this like little pocket universe this creepy monster has made, and we're just going to show it to you and you'll understand and you're going to be... And to do that so succinctly and cleverly, and like you said, using the animation, I think is fucking genius. I was like trying to go, how else could you do that? And like the courage to just go, well, just show it. She just walks around the world. Like, fuck, that's so good.
Have you read this one?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those. What this is like? Probably my favorite game in adaptation.
Is this a? It's a novel, is it?
Novella, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's illustrated.
Yeah, it does have some illustrations.
Okay, yeah. Because I did wonder, because like this is the character design is so cool and so distinctive.
To be honest, it's more like the illustrations. There aren't many. Like it's sort of that thing where it's not like every chapter has an illustration. There's just a few peppered throughout from my memory.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's the. What Leica have done and run with this, I think, is through the roof.
Mm.
Like, because there is this, I mean, Henry Salick obviously needs to be called out as well because...
The man's a jet.
Man's a jet. Obviously, man's a weapon. Before Christmas. He was doing this stuff before anyone else. Like,
has he done all their stuff? So he did...
No.
Did he do something? Oh, he did James the Giant Peach.
That sounds right.
Is Henry Selick?
So what was his big one? Is Nightmare Before Christmas? Yeah. Is that right? Well, I have not seen it.
That's the first one he does, which is really.
We're going to do it for this show.
We could.
Yeah.
Oh look, Christmas movie.
It's got Nightmare in it.
Mate,
as a Christmas
that's
movie.
That's my Loch Ness.
This is Tom's one of his favorite interesting. Movies.
That was the movie my brother. Every time we'd go to the video store. My brother and I, you get your bunch, and then there was always one more left, and my brother and I would always get Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, okay. And Damo, your Loch Ness was Fifth Element.
Fifth Element was one of it. Probably Hook was in there.
Oh, love
Jumanji Hook. Was in there. Those two Robin Williams ones were so big.
I feel like I got them a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, ours was definitely Nightmare. We watched it a shitload.
Well, just to quickly make an argument for Nightmare, I didn't watch it as a kid. Because I genuinely was too scared.
Okay.
Too creepy. Just the designs.
It is creepy. And it's that thing too, because it's Tim Burton's The Nightmare on Elm Street, The Nightmare Before Christmas, because it's his story and world and designs.
Can I just say, Selick directed love to see Nightmare on Elm Street done in this style of animation. Fucking Freddy goofing
Stop
his way in.
Freddy.
Oh, I think actually would genuinely suit it surprisingly well.
Just do it so that everyone else is normal.
Yes.
Or everyone else is animated in like 2D, like Disney animation style, like CalArts style.
Yeah.
Except for Freddy, who's stop motion.
That's great.
Well, like anytime they go into the dream world should be stop motion.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Like that's a way to sort of reinvigorate that franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that
just
at all.
Just go psycho with it.
Yeah.
Why not?
There's a lot of animated horror, hey?
Well, like it works surprisingly well. Like obviously you can play with Uncanny Valley. Like for me, this we'll get to this obviously in a bit more detail in a minute when we ask our questions. But to me, this plays the horror so beautifully where it's truly visually upsetting, like at times, and impressive at the same time. Like I said, I think Leica do incredible work to the point where, like for animation itself is always incredible because someone has physically had to craft this thing that we are seeing, even though it flows so effortlessly. I think stop motion in particular.
It's nuts.
Sometimes you're like, I don't understand how you've done this.
How the thing, the visual effect in this movie, rewatching it, that blows my mind still and blew my mind back then, and it's probably really easy to do it, is the tunnel. Every time she opens the door and the tunnel just stretches out. Like, how the fuck are you guys doing that?
It feels
how are you doing that shit?
It feels so physical, doesn't it?
Yeah. When the camera's whipping
you how
around everyone.
That
you can.
So basically, you know those cat tunnels where you can like fold them up and then you pull it. It's basically that, but they're just pulling it out.
That's so simple and easy.
The one that always gets me, and again, I was reading they ended up having to make like 5 different versions of it, is when the floor falls down into cobweb.
The spider web, yeah.
Like, that's all practical.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like,
how do they do that?
Like, they literally have this thing that fell apart and made a web. Like, again, this the craft on display.
Yeah, the craftsmanship's amazing.
It's insane. Yeah.
Again, even just the movement of the camera.
Yeah.
Like, the way especially in the scene where she goes to see the show, the burlesque show.
Yeah.
And the camera's bopping around. Like, how?
Is this the first Leica film?
It is, I think. Yeah.
Definitely the first one I watched. So there is another horror one.
Paranorman, but that came after this.
Right.
Paranorman.
Also terrific.
Blew my fucking head off.
I love
Paranorman. We could do Paranorman for this.
Yeah. I think we need to this year.
Paranorman and Nightmare Before Christmas.
I love Paranorman more than this one, for sure.
Interesting. This one definitely for me is my favorite, but Paranorman is great.
I'd have to rewatch Paranorman to come down on which one I love more. I've also got a big soft spot for Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes, Kubo's great.
Not a horror at all, but...
That one, I don't know why, it just didn't do enough for me.
Story or visually? Because I think visually it just holds so much that I kind of get so swept up.
I forgot the Paranorman was a Leica movie because I was going to say I think it's a Leica Studios thing in general for me. Because I have to say with Coraline, I don't love it.
Oh, that blows me away.
I don't want to shit on it because I know that it's just about your top 4 favorite films. No, it's not. It's certainly not bad. It's just for me, it's probably, I'm probably going to give it 3 stars.
Okay.
I just, for whatever reason, don't really emotionally get locked in. There are parts of it where I was a little bit bored.
I can understand the emotional thing because you've got to
I think it's the style of the look of the film.
Okay, no, you're completely off for me. I thought there's some character choice where you're like, no, I can understand why you would be more annoyed at her parents or something.
No, I am annoyed at her parents. They're fucking pieces of shit. The character choices. The character choices it's a frustration. But I think for me, I think something with Leica is just, I have so much respect. The way they make these things, incredible. Like you were explaining before, I don't even know how they fucking do it. It's insane. But something holds me back with it, and I think it's probably just the way that characters look or something. I think it's just a different kind of animated film than I'm used to seeing. And like, there's a wall between the emotion and what I might normally get out of something like a Pixar film. And I have to say, Missing Link, I love Missing Link, and it has like basically everything I want in a movie in terms of the story, in terms of everything. And yet, even that I've watched a few times. Probably give that 4 stars.
Right.
Whereas I think if it was a different animated style, it might be a 5-star movie for me.
I can understand because there are styles of animation that I like. I love a lot of animation, but like even you think of something like bleak European, Eastern European animation or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm never going to really jive with that. I'm never really going to get caught up in that sort of style. Even some of the Ghibli ones where it goes outside their standard style, I have a slightly harder time to click into. So like I can get it.
Yeah.
But for me, there is zero barrier. I can click it. This one, again, I think the fantasy, the beauty, like I find it beautiful, truly, even though it's like
kind I think of, it's kind so of like, grotesque. You know when you read a comic book?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, there are certain artists, so it's kind of like, I don't really dig their style. Not to say I don't have complete respect for the art behind it.
But it can be a barrier to the story.
It can be a little bit of a barrier. And I think Leica maybe is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Although Paranorman's fucking good.
It's very good. Yeah. Whew. Well, for me, I love this one because it plays in that really nice fairy tale parable world.
Yeah. Like that Gaiman's sweet spot.
He loves it, dude.
It's the ocean at the end of the lane. It's honestly everything he writes has that little...
Why hasn't that been adapted?
Well, it's a play.
I know it's a play.
Yeah.
Bring it to Australia.
Yes, fucking please.
Get it out here.
That's a movie. Someone's got to make that.
I agree. Again, you've gotten these beautiful novellas. And that's an adult movie as well. Like, that's not for kids as far as I'm concerned.
There is one big thing with this film that probably is a roadblock for me.
Okay.
And you may disagree very much, but I think Terry Hatcher is not a good actor.
Oh.
And I know that a lot of people think the character in this is incredible and it's probably the best thing she's done, but I still see the Terry Hatcher in it and I can't.
I think it
doesn't take me there.
I think you're an idiot.
I think Terry Hatcher is not my favorite actor. I think this is some incredible voice work.
The fact that she sounds, both mothers sound the same, but slightly different, is just such a hard thing to pull off. And then when she's the full-on, like, creature mask off, she sounds different again. Just a slight layering of voice stuff. Like, that is hard to do.
Even, like, when we first see the other mother and she's sort of... You get the menacing, but there is a sweetness. You generally feels like she cares for Coraline.
Her voice is higher.
But she's still got that menace behind her.
Yep. It's the bit even in that first bit where she's like, what do you want? And she does the drumming her fingers on the table. And she's asking questions.
Not a strong actor for me, but...
Yeah.
I'm very glad that you both enjoy it, and so do millions of other people.
It's got some great voice work in it from her, from French and Saunders, from Ian McShane, absolutely delivering as Babinski.
Yeah. John Hodgman is the dad.
Dakota
Fanning is Coraline.
Dakota Fanning.
I love Dakota Fanning.
Why do I know this John guy? What do I know him from? What's his... he's doing stuff. Yeah, that's where I know him from. He's the PC guy from the Mac and PC ads with Justin Long.
He's done so much better stuff than
I know he has, but that's the thing. I was like, why do I recognize this little man with the mustache?
Oh. He was in, what was the show with Ted Danson and...
He's in Bored to Death.
Bored to Death.
He plays the other writer.
Yeah.
The other mystery writer.
He's such a cunt.
Is he the rival?
Yes. Yeah,
the mustache. Yeah,
the mustache guy. That show is such a good cooked, dumb show.
I got to rewatch that show. That's awesome.
That's
that
right show. For rewatch. Yeah.
Fantastic.
But this, I understand the barriers on, I guess, some level, but I think visually for me, it just, it feels so compelling because it feels like I'm watching a storybook climb out of pages. Like the whole sprawling nature of it. I love a story about a chaotic house.
Yes.
And this idea that it's an apartment building, but it's just a townhouse and there's a guy in the attic and there's people in the basement and it doesn't make any sense, but I don't care.
No.
And they're just such weird... And I love weird characters doing stuff.
Yeah.
And like hanging out together. And why are they like, just that scene where she goes to visit Forcible and I can't remember the
Spink.
Yeah. The two women downstairs and just the little gags of all of the, like you hear that they're actresses early on and okay, they're actresses. And then you learn, oh, they were like, in burlesque shows. They were actresses. They were in a show called Julius Sees Her.
Yeah, I love that they're like Shakespeare themed burlesques.
Yes,
so they've got that all
King Lear. Yeah. This like weird character thing of then the weird mouse guy upstairs with his circus and his radishes and just all these little eccentric. And even Wybie, he's such a strange character. Also, why is his name Wyborn? That is such a mean name to give a kid.
Yeah.
She's very mean to him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Coraline's not a nice kid.
Mm. No, but she's a great character.
So 100%.
When you mention the character stuff, there's one character moment in here I was like, fuck, that's so good. It tells us so much about her, which is when she's exploring the house. The parents have been rude and just be like, well, go count the windows, blah, blah, blah. And she pulls back the curtain in the bathroom. She sees all the bugs and she goes, ugh! And then immediately starts smashing them.
Yeah.
Because that's what kind of character she is. She's not going to be disgusted and run away from those bugs. She's like, oh, disgusting. I got to smash them all.
And then I've got to record them.
Yeah. I'm going to get my hands dirty. I'm going to do the needful.
Which tells you that if she has to squash an even bigger bug later, she's up to the task.
Got it. Yeah. Man, I love this movie so much. And I think like that other world element of it, as well as like I said, for me with horror, this is where the closest I can understand because there is a titillation to the darkness of this other world.
You wanted to go back each time, even though they drip feed the dread so beautifully. Mm. She gets the doll, you get the throwaway line about the grandma. Kids aren't supposed to live there.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it. There's a sealed door. Why is it bricked up? Then she has the thing. And like, oh, that was kind of weird.
She gets so many warnings.
So many warnings.
The mice tell her. In the tea leaves, it tells her. Like, nothing.
Well,
it
could be a giraffe as well, which very funnily,
right.
In the other mother world, the toy tank that she has a giraffe head.
Oh, interesting.
So there is actually a giraffe in her future, and it's bad.
Yeah.
It's funny, Tom, that you say you want her to go back. Not for me. Like,
no,
from the outset, I'm like, don't even go in there, you fucking idiot.
Well, no, there's that. But
this is a kid who's bored and neglected, and this is literally all her wishes come true.
Mm.
It's like, for me, I completely...
You know what I rub up against perhaps is like, initially when she goes in there, I don't like other mother from the outset. Whereas I think maybe it's more effective for me if you do like her initially.
No.
If it is a better thing.
Because her parents are neglectful. Her. Your parents don't trust her at all. No.
Oh, no, not at all from the outset. Whereas I think maybe it'd be more effective for me if you did initially. And then it's like the pulling the rug out. It's like, oh, no, I thought this was a better place, but it's not.
Well, because the first thing they do is she has the dream. And it's not really, really bad until she goes back during the day.
Yeah.
And that's when she makes the mistake. Because the two times she goes back outside of that, she gets to see the mouse show. She sees the burlesque show. It's great. And then she's has that night and she wakes back up again. And she's annoyed that she's woken up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They hit it. When I say you wanted to go back, you don't want her to go back because you know it's bad.
Right.
But you're intrigued to see her go back.
As a kid, it's like going to a carnival every day. Of course you, and again, or you have the drab house where your parents are too busy working to give you even an inch of attention.
Mm.
Well, let me jump into our questions because we're sort of swirling around them anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. on the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Okay, so firstly, were we scared?
Yeah, the other mother's creepy as shit.
She's creepy.
A person with buttons for eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's bad.
That's bad news.
That bit too at the very end where she challenges her to the game and she gives her the hint about the kid's eyes. Mm. And then she's like, where are my parents? And she doesn't say anything. She just starts tapping the button on her face. And it's like, I hate that.
Oh,
the way they do that thing too, where they just start making her look more and more like a spider, even before she's stretched out.
The big thorax that she sort of is carrying in like one of the visits.
That's really freaky too, is the thing at the end where it escapes out the door to try and get the key. And it's like it's a spider, but it's made up of like needles.
Her hand basically.
Yeah.
Well, like, The opening sequence of this, where we see this doll sort of float in through the window, and then those same hands start picking it apart and like pull the stuffing in and turn it inside out, is such like a insanely horrific little moment of like,
with the music going,
what
the fuck are you doing?
Truly, like, for me, like, obviously, like, you take a doll. Dolls are creepy. Like, that's not news.
That's a big call, Dana.
That's a huge call. But, like, ripping the stuffing out feels so perverse and so unnatural and, like, literally on the edge of body horror.
Mm.
And then the turning it inside out and the mouth is, like, gaping hollow and open. And it's like, oh, my God, what the fuck are we in for?
It's this thing you're not supposed to ever see.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly right.
What I love that's great about that too is that you see the doll get made, and then like the next couple of scenes, you then see Coraline, who looks exactly like the doll. Yeah. And you're like, this is bad.
This is not going to be
great. That's not going to go well.
Well, I even like that for all the warnings that she gets so YB is not in the book. That's an addition for the movie. And I think it's a great one. It's mostly so Coraline isn't just talking to herself the whole time. But even for him and his grandma, and I like the addition of the grandma as well, and how the grandma has never allowed kids to stay at the house. Like YB says early on, he goes, oh, usually grandma doesn't let people with kids stay here. Like, it's weird.
And I'm not allowed in.
And he's not allowed. Importantly, she gets very upset if he goes over there because obviously she's lost her sister. Like, that nice little seeding of, this has been going on for a while.
Yeah,
and we're going to get all the answers. And again, like, it's just beautifully set up. Like, on a story level, I actually think that's a big part of what I love about it. Like, I'm someone who just appreciates story over other elements at times. Sometimes to my detriment, especially because movies is a lot more than just story, and I fully recognize that. But I think the storytelling here is genuinely terrific. Obviously, it's based off Gaiman's novel, which is also fantastic. But I genuinely think they've actually taken all the best parts of the novel, and as adaptations go, for me, this is truly superb. Like, I think they've added what they needed to add. They've taken out what they needed to take away for it to be a movie. And I'm just so satisfied with the final product.
Is it your favorite adaptation of his?
Definitely. So, like,
because he's got some that are a bit, eh.
I agree. So, like, weirdly, one that I love, the original, the book of American Gods, I've read a number of times. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Really engaging book. The TV show should have got me and it just didn't. I never finished the first season.
What's your favorite Gaiman book?
Mine's Ocean at the End of the Lane.
Mine is also that, yeah.
Ocean's huge. American Gods definitely is.
American Gods is easily the close second by a bee's dick. Yeah,
I think maybe American Gods for me, just because I actually like that it's a tomb. Like, normally big books don't have that longevity for me, but it's one that I can fall into and just love the ride.
It also moves at a clip.
There's quite a lot of story going on. Yeah.
I took it on a holiday once and have never finished it. It's always it's one that I've always wanted to read, but it's like, what, 700 pages?
It's big, yeah.
See, I also love, again, we're in the weeds of this, but I love some of his short works.
Mm.
The story about the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe story about Susan and why she never got to go back to Narnia is such a good piece of writing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know what's up.
I haven't seen that. What did that get released in?
Fragile Things, I think.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really, really juicy one about the problem with Susan, isn't it? Or the trouble with Susan?
Trouble with Susan, yeah.
It's basically she didn't get to go back to Narnia because she fucked.
Yeah.
That's it. Basically, it's him kind of telling C.S. Lewis to fuck himself.
Yeah.
It's really good. Back to Coraline and the horror aspects of it.
Mm.
It does such a great job of presenting things that are a bit eerie, but they're still fun.
Yeah.
until they are no longer fun.
Yeah.
And so Babinski being that creepy suit just full of money. And then that eerie line the fake Babinski delivers where she's like, you're just a copy of the real thing or whatever she says. And the voice just dips and becomes creepy. And it's like, not even that because it's just rats.
It's just rats. Yeah.
And then Pumpkin Dad, like all the little things where they just get a bit creepier and a bit weirder and a bit darker each time.
Another example is like when we see the jumping mice in the other world, there's like a little one that's hopping around and the cat grabs it, bites it, turns into a rat. So you're like, oh, rat, gross. And then slowly sand starts dribbling out of the dead rat's mouth.
Yeah.
And again, because it's just a puppet as well. It's just one of her
They're all puppets. It's
one of the scary shots is when I think Wybie's standing in the door and the other mother looks back at him and does the smile thing.
Oh, awful.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Same for like when the dad kind of becomes loose and like when she's like, things are really starting to spiral out.
The mother's resting. We're not any good if she's not here. And the piano tells him to shut up.
Yeah.
Ugh. It gets really yuck, but I think the other mother is really scary. For me, the first time I watched it, the thing that freaked me out the most, and still freaks me out on the rewatch, is the taffy women.
Oh.
When they're wrapped together as that candy thing.
Oh, okay.
And they goo out at her and they're just screaming thief and they won't let go. And it's like, the other mother is scary. Do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you know she's going to be scary.
Right.
You're not expecting those two women to be taffy.
They're just freaking goofballs. Yeah.
I was expecting, they'd be like creepy button people as well. And
right.
I don't know. I think I also respect this movie because it puts a lot of power on cats, and I like cats.
You do love
a cat boy.
Yes. And that cat is Keith David.
Oh, love Keith David.
Gorgeous voice.
Yeah.
One of the best.
All right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Coraline makes a lot of dumb choices.
Yeah.
However.
11 years old.
Yes.
11 years old. When she's then confronted with like, make smart choices, very clever. Let's go. The idea she has to trick the other mother into looking in there so she can get her parents and then throwing
the cat. Yeah, like coming up with that solution in the face of fear.
Yes.
Very good.
She's very brave.
Yeah. And to jump back to like her to keep going back to this world, I really like, again, this is where I just think it's great storytelling, where literally we're getting these reflections of her life in our world compared to what happens in there. So there's that great scene where her and Mum are at the store. She wants just gloves, just like some fucking colorful gloves in this drab, dreary gray world. And the Mum only wants to get her gray clothes. First thing that happens when she goes back over to the other world, other mother has this stunning, beautiful star-driven outfit for her.
Yep.
Like the idea that it's literally giving her all the things she desires, all the things she's not getting in her regular world. Like, that is such a hard lure to not fall for. Like, definitely not for an 11-year-old. So, like, I like that it kind of is really showing, like, even seeing when she sees all her neighbors in our world, and it's a bit weird, but it's like, it's kooky, but is it fun? Not really. And then we get the versions over there, and it's just a
They're
riot.
Way more fun.
Yeah, like these incredible set pieces.
The mice work, the stage show's
the
really
performance
good.
Is
the
insane and awesome.
You know, they're not a bunch of weird old women who give her old candy. Although I do love that comes back, and they're like, this is what you need. And they chisel some magical stuff. They're my love that thing of that Gaiman does where he's like, these old birds, they're fucking witches. Yeah. He fucking loves having an old bat and she's got powers.
Yes, she does.
And those powers, esoteric and confusing.
On the Seeing Stone. I love the Seeing Stone. I think that's great. And like the way she uses it. But wise or foolish, at one point she piffs it at the other mother, I think.
She throws it at the rat.
Shows of the rat.
Yeah, like, to get the last ball.
Come on, mate. What are you piffing away your one thing that lets you see the truth?
11.
Yes, I know.
11, we also know she's impulsive and like, you know, aggressive and a bit of a bully.
Yeah, she's a little bit. Yeah, definitely to Wybie, no question. And is that like her passing on the bullying that she gets from her parents, in quotation marks, but like...
Yeah, the hardness of her mum.
Yes.
For sure. You get like...
Hurt people.
Yep, there it is.
But you get these lovely little beats of like her dad, while being, you know, not as fun and kooky to other dad, has these, like, he gives her the game. Yeah. He's like, leave me alone, but do this. This will be fun.
Count
you know,
these windows, yeah.
Calls her, if you're not going to do this, a little fuss pot. Like, you know, he's doing silly stuff.
I think on acting wisely, like, she should have just left her parents in there to die. You don't think?
That's the carny.
They suck. Who gives a shit about your fucking gardening catalogue or whatever it is?
Well,
who cares?
That's the thing.
Your mum's Terry Hatcher. Leave her in there to die.
Okay. That's the thing keeping them afloat, Sean. They need it to work.
No.
That's the thing is, as an adult, you watch it and you go, oh, they're stressed because they're broke.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This has to work. They've relocated.
Yeah.
To the
mum's had a car accident as well.
Yeah, like, this has got to work. And then I do love for ages, you're like, oh, rewatching, I was like, the mum doesn't really do anything like to redeem herself. And then just before she goes back in,
yeah,
is like, why don't you come with me and we'll get you anything you like?
Yes.
Like, I've been, you know, this is the last bit. This is basically her saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Coraline's a stubborn kid and is like, get fucked.
Yeah.
So the mum goes out and buys her the gloves.
And I kind of like that the mum, like, again, she doesn't have to become perfect mum because, well, no one has a fucking perfect mum anyway. No one can be a perfect
mum. That's the point.
Right. And so I like at the end. The
perfect mum is a spider.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, she's still quite limited in her parenting. And I like how she gets her the gloves right. She kind of does that mum thing of like, I'm making a nice gesture, but it makes me uncomfortable. And she kind of like drops it on the bed next to Coraline and leaves.
Yeah.
And then Coraline opens and sees the gloves and is really stoked about it. I don't know. I felt like if they'd gone too far into, oh, Coraline, I'm so sorry. Let me give you a big hug and be the mum you deserve. It would have cheapened it. I like that she's more
realistic.
Better. Yeah, it's more realistic.
And even later when they're all gardening together and eating pizza, like, you know, they're still, they love one another in their way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this nice little thing.
And the I mean, again, bring in a found family at the end. I fucking love that. Babinski's planting radishes.
Oh, just throwing out all the tulips and putting... I will say this. I was watching this with my partner and she's like, I hate that's not how you plant tulips.
That's funny.
They're a bulb-based plant.
Is that what she actually said?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
You put the bulb in.
Bulb-based plant.
Wow. All right, boys. How would we do in this situation?
Kill the parents.
Okay, wait.
Wait. The other mother?
Kill them all. All four.
I don't know if I can get on board with this.
She
was home free.
Like, Damo,
yeah.
Sean, can you take off your glasses? Your eyes are looking very buttony.
Oh my God! Second.
That's other Sean.
Fuck. Stand by it. Kill them. Yeah, kill them.
No, they're redeemable. They're just people like we
all
just
right,
said.
All right, fine. Yes. Kill other mother then.
Yes,
I think we would be okay.
Mm.
And I think the reason is power friendship.
Hell yeah.
Two, rules.
Yes.
There are rules.
I might side with other mother though.
Oh, I get buns like
that? Yeah, no, they've got a gravy train. They've got an actual train.
Literal great cat. Yeah.
Okay, as someone who loves potato and gravy from KFC.
Imagine the roast, Tom.
Yeah.
Sunday roast with other mother.
Am I definitely going
to
die?
I think, to be honest, in all seriousness, Tom, you've got the biggest... You would definitely get buttons.
You'd be buttoned.
You would. You'd button love Tom. The buttons.
Yeah.
What colour buttons would you go, Tommy?
Probably orange.
Yeah. I'd go green.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. You look good with green.
So, Damo, you survive. You two buttoned idiots here.
I think my button boys are... I've got to leave the boys behind. But
you have to get our eyes back.
Okay, I can do that. I think I can do that. I do like, again, on the rules front, obviously she has to play a game. Love that already. That's a great thing. I love that this monster, like her weakness is playing games. I think that's really great.
Yeah, okay. I think I could beat her.
Okay, what game are you thinking?
Table tennis.
Oh, woodsman.
Yes.
I think I could beat the other mother at table tennis.
What game would you challenge her to?
I'm probably challenging her to a game of competitive Pokemon battle.
Yes.
What about you, Damo?
I've only got like boring answers like fucking Scrabble or cards like that. I love a board game.
Yeah. Well, I can play for all of us.
Okay. Well, you boys love a bit of Fortnite.
Oh, fuck.
Could we get the other mother in Fortnite? She got no eyes to see.
I would love it if there was a skin of the other mother in Fortnite.
Oh, there should be.
I would have that skin.
Yes.
I think I probably would too.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Could I take the other mother in Fortnite? I reckon we could.
Well, she can't see.
Like literally games are her weakness. I kind of love that because
she has
really
to play.
It...
She wants to play them. That's yes. The thing.
Does that also mean though that if you fail, you could go double or nothing with her? Like you could hook her.
I reckon
her
you could
there.
Probably play, like literally play her.
Here's the thing, guys.
Bitch love games.
We don't get buttoned.
Okay.
And we don't die.
Okay.
We are playing games for eternity. Double or nothing.
But that means we keep losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, boys.
I really don't think that I would lose in table tennis to her.
She's a spider, man.
I don't give a shit. I've got a shot called the Woodsman, mate.
Can you share? Have you shared with listeners your real revelation about the Woodsman recently?
What was the revelation?
That you didn't invent it?
Oh, I don't remember that. What the fuck are you talking about?
You were telling me that you were watching table tennis and you saw someone doing that shot.
Oh, yeah, but they don't call it the Woodsman. They don't. That's just their version of it. A bit of a chop down. It's not the same wood chop that I do. But
right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in good company. Okay. These were Olympic level athletes that I was watching.
Can I just say, on the weakness thing and just the, this is not related to anything else, just a last little bit that I do love is Keith David's cat when he's able to talk. And she asks, why is she doing this? And he goes on this beautiful long thing of like, she wants something to love, maybe something that isn't herself because everything in the world is made by her.
Yeah.
And then he sort of trails off and goes, or she just wants to eat you. Yeah. Just like, I love that cats are helpful, but because they are cats, they are also intrinsically assholes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, on the winning front, yes, I think your table tennis chops, as well as Tom owns not one, but two cats that we can throw at her.
This is true.
It's true.
So,
and Louis is a big asshole.
Yeah.
And Sansa is just fat. So
we got it.
Both weapons. As both weapons. Concerned.
Yeah.
Come
yeah.
on. All right. Well, on that note, that's all this geek talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been the other Tom.
Oh, no. Hold on. You've got buttons as well. If you scaredy listeners like this show would like to help us out and help yourself out, you can head over to patreon.com/scaredyboys, become a patron for $5 a month. There's a whole crazy amount of stuff over there. So sign up for that and you'll love it. I promise you. Otherwise, you can also leave a review of your listeners. That helps us quite a lot. Or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on socials at scaredyboys or scaredyboyspodcast. Or individually, I'm at DamienRob.writer.
I'm at other Sean.
I'm at other Sean too. What?
What? Stay scared, everyone.
I'd go green.
Oh, beautiful. You look good with green.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.